Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Chris Perkins, Perk. Good morning, my friend. How's everything?
Oh, man, it's a mixed bag. I've been having a productive morning, but I'm trying to find some recorded interviews that I might have deleted, and these little cheap earbuds that I bought will not hook up with my telephone. So it's first world problems, but, you know, it's a mixed bag right now.
I don't know who's having a worse morning, you or me, Perk. I'm coming off a tough loss, a late-night loss to Duke last night. And apparently I'm the only person in Miami that likes Jimmy Butler.
He's a Jimmy Butler apologist.
Apparently. Perk, you covered the Heat for a while. What do you make of this? We're gonna find out probably one way or another in about 48 hours when this game hits on Friday, when his suspension is over. What do you think happens with Jimmy Butler and the Heat?
Man, that's a good question. Here's what I think happens in the big picture is that eventually they kiss and make up, because isn't this the trend with every Heat superstar, right? From Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. You leave here in a huff, and then you make up after a couple of years, and you come back into the fold. Short term, in 48, I don't know what's going to happen when the suspension is over. But I think eventually it'll be okay. But, man, this weekend, I have no idea what's going
to
happen.
Now, so, just really quick, though, Omar, just to follow up, because I said Jimmy was going to get his jersey retired, you know, and this is all said and done, and people think I'm nuts. You think he eventually, right, he comes back. They will put his jersey in the rafters. Yeah. Right? He's a top five all-time Heat player, isn't he?
I would say probably. I've never done the math. I mean, definitely Dwayne and LeBron and Zoe and Timmy. I guess Bosch has to be up there too. You can make that argument, definitely, 100%.
Now, Perk, we see this now down here in South Florida, where two of our superstars, Tyreek Hill and Jimmy Butler, are basically demanding out.
They quit in the same week, Perk. We've never had that happen. Two stars quit in 1 week.
Yeah.
What is it in the water down here, Perk? What's going on?
Oh, man. Well, you know, the Heat thing, that's just what happens with Heat superstars. The Tyreek thing, man, somebody's got to talk to Reek. Somebody's got to get him in the fold, man. And I fear what this locker room is going to look like next year without Teron Armstead and Calais Campbell, that, look, somebody's got to tell Tyreek, look, like the trolling you did after the Houston loss when fans are hurting, time for me to go coach. And this thing with
never knew where that apostrophe belonged. You don't know where that apostrophe belonged.
I know. This is why somebody has to talk to Reek and tell him, put that comma in there, Reek. Put in some punctuation. Come on.
Listen,
all mad at you.
It's funny, Perk. If we take me and you, we always wrote those columns like, come on, y'all got to get Tyreek under control. Tyreek, stop acting immature. We always wrote them in unison at the same time. I feel like it's only the black men who can call out Tyreek. Let's just be honest.
That's right.
But If we put the tea leaves together, the trade deadline where he's like flirting with Kansas City, then the time for me to go coach, wherever you want to put that apostrophe, then we get to the end of the season press conference where he's like, I got to go. I can't do this no more.
Right.
If you put them all together, I don't think I think Tyreek was dropping us tea leaves, Burke.
I don't think he really wants to leave. I believe the other 20 times when Tyreek said, I love it here, I want to retire here, my family is happy, my business is here, I want to be here in Miami. That's what I believe. I think this time he was forced to talk, which he should have been forced to talk. He's a team leader. But I just don't believe that he believed the words that tumbled out of his mouth. And once he said it, he couldn't back off. He figured he would double down, and now he's in this situation. And quite honestly, it's kind of working to his advantage, isn't it?
You know what? It's funny that you say that, because I agree with you, Chris Perkins.
This is actually a first.
What a turn of events.
This is a first.
Perk, I got to tell you, though, Omar goes to me, he goes, man, me and Perk, we're going to argue. We're going to fight during this interview.
We'll talk some O-line or some run game if you want to hear us argue.
We do is fight with each other all day long.
Omar likes to scapegoat the offensive line. But anyway.
Don't start with me, Perk.
We can start now.
Listen. Here's why I agree with you. Tyreek makes $30 million a year. He makes 5-6 times what Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. He's got them in a position where it's not even advantageous for them to trade him. He's the top commodity that they have. Even if he demands a trade, they'd have to sell him at a discount. It doesn't even financially benefit them to trade him. So he's kind of got them by the you-know-what. And if he's sitting here demanding a better team, don't you have to deliver that to him?
Right. Yeah, and he's not going to – Tyreek knows he's not going to have a better situation also. I mean, what I think, is, you know, I know that on our text chain I brought up the fact that, you know, or the possibility, not the fact, the possibility that maybe Wes Welker leaving was something that they did to placate Tyreek, to kind of soothe him. I don't know, but I do think this, again, not with inside information, but I do think that Greer and McDaniel both probably separately told Tyreek, look, we're going to get this offense back to the 2022-2023 levels when you had 1,700 yards and 170 targets. We just need to get through this season. Chill out. Don't talk about trades. We're going to get things back to where you were the focal point of the offense. I'm just guessing that was part of it, because when I asked Mike McDaniel, are you going to change the offense in 2025? He said, no, we'll just change how we attack defenses. I think Tyreek is coming back and he will be the focal point of the offense once again. That's what I think.
Chris Perkins here with us on QAM. Perk, I don't think we had a chance to ask you yet about the statement from Stephen Ross after the season came to a rough end. After the Jets game, he came right out and he said Mike McDaniel is staying, Chris Greer is staying, and obviously Dolphins fans are very frustrated, because I don't think anyone sees, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, right? I don't know how this thing gets better with Chris Greer calling all the shots. What were your takeaways from the statement from Ross?
I thought we saw this coming after the San Francisco game, when Steve Ross gave Mike McDaniel that game ball, right? That was kind of like, you beat a losing team at home. This isn't really, you know, game ball worthy, but that's what happened. And so, look, again, the way that I see this is that McDaniel and Greer are here because of the mistake they made with the Tua extension. That if Tua didn't get that extension, which I was against from the start, I would have swept all three of them out, Greer, McDaniel, and Tua, after this season. But now Tua has to be here because of that contract extension. It's kind of like Tyreek, you can't get rid of him. Mike McDaniel is the one who brings the most out of Tua, right? We saw Tua under Brian Flores. It wasn't good. Mike McDaniel gets the most out of Tua, and Mike McDaniel works very well with Chris Greer, so I think McDaniel would throw that adult temper tantrum if he heard that Chris Greer was going to leave. So all three of them stay here. You work together. I also think if you bring in a new GM, you're not only do you saddle him with a brittle quarterback such as Tua, you also run the risk of dysfunction in your house, where some people are going to side with Brian, with the new GM, and some people are going to side with Mike McDaniel. And this is the dysfunction we had under Brian Flores and under Adam Gase, when you had Don Aponte and Jeff Ireland and Mike Tannenbaum and Dennis Hickey and all these voices in Steve Ross's ear. Keep these guys together. Keep it simple. This is a one-year make-good contract, really, with me for Greer, McDaniel, and Tua. If they don't get things turned around this year, all three of them are gone. I don't care about the financial ramifications.
Yes, but, Chris, here's the point that I'm making, and I recently wrote a column in the Miami Herald about this. There's hidden costs associated with keeping them. When you look at it from this standpoint, you know they're going to take an all-in approach. And so you can't put restrictions on them. And that could lead you to be doing some unhealthy business like they've Correct. Done for the last 3 years. Where we're talking about trading first-round picks for big-name players and giving big extensions and restructuring contracts. And, you know, and I mean, they've done it for 3 years, so why stop them now? don't you see that there could potentially, and agents knowing that they're in a very unstable situation, so trying to take advantage of that, don't you see that there could potentially be more harm done than maybe starting a reset?
Yeah, but this is where the organization has to step in, and you know, I guess above Chris Greer, there's only Tom Garfinkel and Steve Ross. So Garfinkel, the president, or Ross, the owner, has got to put some restrictions on them and say, look, you know, I know that we could possibly have 10 draft picks, right? 7 of our own, 3 comp picks. We could have 2 third round picks. You aren't packaging those 2 third round picks to get us a 32-year-old, you know, defensive
Kerry Kittle.
Exactly. That's not going to happen. So there does have to be a safeguard, because these guys are on a one and done, and they're going to try to stay and retain their jobs. Oh, I understand that, but you cannot have these dudes ruin your franchise.
See, this is our first fight, Perk. You can't put me in a one and done situation and give me an opportunity to save myself. And then put restrictions on me.
Well, there's the door. If you don't like it, there's the door. I mean, that's what I'm telling you, so that I can have my franchise in good financial.
When has this owner ever said no? When has this owner ever said no?
He's got to draw a line. Oh, he's got to change. McDaniel's got to change. Greer has got to change. And I'm not talking about 180 degrees, but they cannot continue to do what they've been doing.
What change do you want to see from all three individuals? What change do you want to see from Steve Ross?
From Steve Ross, you've got to put some restrictions on Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel and rein them in. That freaking Tua contract extension was ridiculous. Tyreek Hill didn't need an extension. Jalen Ramsey didn't need an extension. So that's what Steve Ross has got to rein in the spending. Chris Greer has got to stand up to Mike McDaniel. All this speed, speed, speed. We need some bulk. We need some muscle. We need some muscle on the interior defensive line and the interior offensive line. We can't keep going for speed. And for Mike McDaniel, you've got to show some backbone with these players. Give them some discipline. Give them some structure, right? All the tardiness and all this kind of stuff, all the player empowerment, you've got to take control of your team. Again, all three of these guys cannot continue doing what they've been doing. It does not work.
All right, Perk, real quick before we let you run here, we got some games coming up this weekend. Chiefs, Texans, Lions, Commanders on Saturday, and on Sunday, Eagles and Rams, and then the big one, Bills and Ravens. Let's start with those first three. Do you think we get any upsets there? Those are all big spreads. The smallest spread is Philly, favored by 6, Detroit 9.5, KC 8. You think any of those teams could pull upsets there?
Man, I tell you what, I think the Rams could. I mean, the Chargers. What am I talking about here? I think the Texans are the team that is probably in the worst shape. The other road teams, I think, have a chance to win. But I think the Texans against the Chiefs, that's the one game that I'm going to write off. Washington has a decent chance against Detroit because of Dan Campbell's Wild Wild West coaching ways. But I'd love it. The same thing that keeps you in games could lose you a game. I like Philly and I like Buffalo as the home team. So I would say the three home teams, Kansas City, Philly, and Buffalo, have real good chances to win, I would say.
All right, Perk, that sounds good. We'll enjoy the games this weekend and hopefully catch up with you next week. Thank you for the time.
All right, fellas, we'll do it again.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jimmy Butler in the news yesterday. The Dolphins, things getting a little quieter over there in Miami Gardens, which is a good thing.
Because the season's over.
For the time being. Yeah, the season is usually over around this time of year, as we are we're very used to that. It's been 25 years since they've advanced to this part of the season, correct?
Oh, stop it. Even if they had made the playoffs, you know they would have gotten smoked in the first round. So let's...
Oh, I know. No, I understand that. That's why I'm saying it's been 25 years since they've won a playoff game, which would take you to the second round, which is where we are now.
How many years has it been since we've had a great quarterback, by the way? I think it's 25.
At least.
Yeah. See?
Great quarterback?
I mean,
we've had one in my lifetime.
Notice the coincidence?
Dan Marino.
Yeah, notice the coincidence. And yeah. I'm not dissing Tua, but Tua's not Josh Allen.
I know you're a Tua guy, I know.
Yeah, Tua's not Josh Allen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't say. I don't know, man. I just have a very tough time seeing the Dolphins make it through the AFC with that limitation at that position. But it's not going to change. That's what we're rolling with going into to next year. I guess, Omar, the game plan for the Dolphins is to build the offensive line, right? That would be the number one game plan to try to get that run game.
Build the trenches. Going. Build the trenches. I would say that that's accurate and fair. If you look at who they are as a team, they basically didn't do enough in the trenches from a front office standpoint to sort of reinforce that area. And football games are won and lost in the trenches all season, but especially in December. And you know, I'm not going to say December is why this Dolphins team fell apart, but even if they had made it to the postseason, they just would have got pushed around in the playoffs no matter who they played.
Because they played in the cold.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't play in the cold. We know that. Let's see. We got a bunch of texts coming in here this morning. This guy says the Steelers in the same boat, if not worse, with George Pickens as we are with Tyreek. He was showing up late regularly. We said this earlier, Omar. This comes with the territory with star players.
I don't like when people associate the lateness with Tyreek. That's not fair. You don't know that. And I've asked, it's not accurate. That's not accurate. That's not fair. That's not accurate. I know I'd sit there and talk about Tyreek showing up to practice late. That was allowed. That was advised. That was team ordered. Tyreek is in the training room. Tyreek was on a load management program. So don't do that. And I hate when people just lump everything in. Mike McDaniel brought that up and discussed it with his team. That's a Mike McDaniel issue. That's not a Tyreek issue. Tyreek did more than enough for this team this season in terms of sucking it up, being the good soldier, not being targeted as much, spending most of the season as a decoy. We were spending months asking, why isn't Tyreek targeted enough? Then we learned about the wrist injury, and we learned about it during the season. It wasn't an excuse used after the season. Mm-hmm. We knew about it. We knew about it in training camp. We didn't know the severity of it. So I hate when people sit there and say, oh, Tyreek was late all the time. No, don't do that. They talked about how good of a role model and how – not that I agree with it, but they praised Tyreek for 2 years about the standard that he set for his teammates, and now all of a sudden he's a bad teammate just because he tells you he doesn't want to be part of this foolishness. And it is foolishness.
I agree with you. There's a lot of foolishness going on there with that franchise. Texter says, good morning, gentlemen. Do you think the Dolphins will draft a quarterback this year? What do you think, Omar?
No.
I'm guessing no.
I don't think it's wise for the Dolphins.
If they do,
it'd
be later in the draft.
I don't want this regime, these coaches, this general manager picking a quarterback. And here's the reason why. You're in a one-and-done situation. Any quarterback you pick is not going to help you this year. If Tua goes down, season's done. Your tenure is okay. Done. And I doubt any young quarterback is going to save you.
So let's do this.
Hold on.
Let's assume for the sake of argument that Tua doesn't make some magical leap that you tried to sell me on this past offseason. That he was just going to somehow, some way, just become like dramatically
better.
He's
a 26-year-old okay. quarterback.
Well, let's say that
become dramatically better. The offense did evolve, not okay. necessarily.
Let's say
you had no running game.
Well, let's say he doesn't make this mythical leap that you're talking about.
It's
right
not
now.
Mythical.
Okay,
it's
let's say that doesn't happen.
Logical.
And the Dolphins remain mediocre. My question, my issue is how do you either bottom out or turn this thing into a contender, because being in the middle, being mediocre, is the worst place to be in the NFL, and that's what the Dolphins are. Dolphins are a 500. If you could get to 500 with 17 games, the Dolphins would find a way. I'm surprised they get a tie in there.
You don't need to bottom out. You don't need to bottom out to become a contender.
Yeah, you pretty much do.
No,
though.
Look at
the teams that have drafted these. Look at the
Los
Washington.
Angeles Rams did not have first round pick for multiple years. They didn't. They never bottomed out and.
They got the quarterback situation figured out.
Yeah, you could trade for a quarterback. Matthew Stafford. Everybody in the NFL knew Matthew Stafford wanted to be traded from the Lions for two years.
But how many guys are like that now?
You'll eventually
find one.
Who is
out there?
You'll eventually find one.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's really reassuring.
And here's the thing. And this is the argument that I have with Dolphin fans all the time.
I just don't know how many good quarterbacks like a Matthew Stafford, like the quarterbacks of that level. That are just out there for the taking.
Every couple of years there are guys.
Who do you think is going to be out there? Goff, Aaron Rodgers, or Jared Goff.
You could go get Aaron Rodgers right now if you want him.
I understand that, but Aaron Rodgers can't play anymore. I'm talking about Matt Stafford was like, I mean, guy was putting
people
up
thought,
numbers.
People thought Matt
really
Stafford
good.
Was done when the Rams traded for him.
The Lions were a rough franchise back then.
Okay, well, they're not now.
And they have, the Lions have made some good moves.
Okay, and people thought Goff was done when
they
traded for him. Goff is now one of the best quarterbacks in the league. There, you will have opportunity. You can go get when Baker Mayfield was out there. Nobody was giving Baker Mayfield a job. I think he took a 1 year, $10 million deal, and now he's viewed as a franchise quarterback. Geno Smith had a very good year. I think he's up on the trade block right now. At least that's the word that I'm hearing. You want to go do that? You could do that. You could go get Russell Wilson. You could go get Justin Fields. You can go get. You could go get Kirk Cousins. He's probably done, but maybe he's not.
But you're naming me mediocre names.
You could go get Dak Prescott, possibly, if you want him.
Yeah, I mean, you're rattling off names of guys that are mediocre at best. Speaking of Dak Prescott, I want to get to this Dallas thing. Deion Sanders is in the mix. Someone brought this up earlier, and I did read this article yesterday. The Marlins have come up with a partnership here with a company called the Cordish Companies. And this company builds like entertainment district type stuff around baseball parks. Mm-hmm. And the Marlins have announced a project here with them, a partnership to develop Miami Live, a transformational entertainment development at Loan Depot Park to further enhance the best-in-class ballpark experience. The development will include indoor-outdoor dining and entertainment spaces aimed at fostering community and elevating the fan experience, including curated year-round activations focused on community programming for all ages. Does that do anything for you here? Now, this was supposed to be, remember when they built the park, it does have all that retail space.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily blame people for not wanting to open up shop over there because the park does not tend to attract a lot of guests. Now, with that being said, could Marlins Park become a place
absolutely
where people want to go?
I think yes. Absolutely. Not Marlins Park, but that area, because that area has been the center of gentrification for probably
All of Miami. I mean,
yeah, all of Miami.
But they just keep building and building.
Yeah.
If they have space to build a high rise, they're going to build it, I think is pretty much what's going on down here. But I just think, like, you think of Marlins Park, Lone Depot Park, and it never has had that vibe of, like, let's go 3 or 4 hours before the game, and, you know, like, if you were going to a game at Wrigley,
but
right, you go early, you spend time at the places around the park, you enjoy your whole day out there, and then you catch the game.
Same thing with Fenway.
The Marlins games are kind of like, you know, you're in and out, you go to the game.
But it's very hard destination to get to, especially without public transportation.
Oh, don't do that to me, please. Yeah. I don't want to hear about the being tough to get to.
Oh, no, it is. I mean, you live down there, so it's easy for you to get there.
The Kaseya Center is tough to get to.
It is.
Okay,
it
people
is.
Go.
You're right.
People manage to go.
You're right.
I know a lot of people from Miami go up to see the Panthers play at Amaranth Bank Arena.
That's a trek.
That is a trek. But you know what? Product's good.
Yeah, you're right.
Product's good.
Now
with the Marlins, they have a little bit of an issue with their product right now. I don't know if it's going to get better anytime soon. We spend a lot of time on this show trying to figure out how to fix the Marlins on-field product, and I don't know that it's going to get better anytime soon. But does this interest people? Like, this came out yesterday. Would this be?
It's not
like,
about
like
the Marlins.
Tommy and Iolia says maybe the Marlins should worry about getting good baseball players instead of another mall with no customers.
It's not
fix the team first.
No, they're trying to make a profit, and they're trying to rejuvenate that area, and that area is prime for rejuvenation because they're just building up everything around it. They call it the Jackson District or something like that, mm-hmm. because it's associated with the hospital, and there are tons of high rises. If you look in that area, there are tons of high rises going on.
I drive around all these areas.
Yeah.
This guy says Marlins opening up
Miami
Live next to the stadium.
You could probably drive down back roads to Marlins Park.
I know how to get to Marlins Park. Will a new Buffalo Wild Wings near the stadium bring them enough to increase the payroll by $200 million?
<There you go. laughs> Maybe $2 million.
You need a billionaire to own the Marlins in order for it to get better.
No, it's not
going to
get better. No matter who owns them, it's just not. We're talking about 2 decades of trauma to the point where
it's been tough.
Who in this market is going to? That's not new to this market. Is going to ever trust the Miami Marlins?
Oh, man. The problem for me with the Marlins is that they do such a good job with everything outside of the on-field product.
They went to the playoffs a couple of years ago.
The
on-field product is not bad.
Giancarlo Stanton was down here trying to go for 60. And I remember to me, is the landmark game of why the Marlins don't care about spending.
How many Hall of Fame players have they traded away?
A lot. A lot of MVPs have walked through those doors. But Giancarlo Stanton's going for 60. That's like a historic game. Hell, Shohei Ohtani. Down here, 50-50 game. They didn't even have to open up the upper deck. They didn't have to open up the second level for that game.
We don't care about baseball
down here. There was nobody there. Don't tell me that we don't care about baseball down here, because I also went to that park when the Savannah Bananas played, and there was not a seat to be had.
Who are the Savannah Bananas?
The Savannah Bananas are like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
World Baseball Classic sold out every game.
The World Baseball Classic.
Serie de Caribbean was really big, too, that they have every year there.
My son is in a baseball league that they have tons and tons of kids. He plays the Danny Berry League out on the beach.
Mom,
he's got leagues all over the place.
Free tickets.
Like, there is a like of baseball down here. Like, it's not that people don't like it. It's that people don't like the Marlins.
Fair.
And they have been trying for decades to try to fix this thing.
And they continue to botch it because they continue to do horrible things
with
the franchise.
But if you have a guy like Stan here who's trying to hit 60 and nobody goes, what are we doing here? Like, that's the thing, like, that I would say to the, like, the fans and the owners are going to be like, what are we doing? Like, why are we spending this money if you're not going to go regardless? And I just think people have been so damaged by that franchise that they're, like, not willing to give it a shot. But I look, at the end of the day, I will tell you, we have a great time going to those games. They do everything first class over there except for the product on the field. That's where they go wrong, and that's where they struggle mightily. And unfortunately, I don't see that getting better anytime soon here. This guy says Savannah Bananas. Yes, they did. The Savannah Bananas are sold out. They are coming back in March, Omar. The Savannah Bananas, so for me to get tickets to that game, I had to enter a lottery like a year in advance. I know. It was a joke. I had to enter a lottery.
Crazy.
Now, the nice thing about them is they don't overcharge for their tickets.
I thought they were like $80-something dollars a ticket.
Their tickets were like really reasonably priced. I want to say they were like $50 with no fees. Like they were very reasonable. For what it was, they were reasonably priced. All the players go out there and sign. They put on a whole like perform. I mean, it was a whole thing. The kids had a great time. You can fill that place. It is doable for a baseball game. We've seen that. It's just, the Marlins have had a little bit of an issue with their on-field product. Anyway, I was trying to make that into a nice story here with Miami, with the Marlins announcing Miami Live, which I think will be very cool to add to the ballpark experience. But I get it, man. People want a better on-field product. We got to take a pause. Speaking of on-field product,